projects overseas for many, many years. And then I had a couple of flights coming back to Oklahoma thinking, you know, this is, I'd like to think I made a difference in 3 to 4 week period of time, but what about Oklahoma and some other very hurting states in the lower 48 or in the continental United States? And Oklahoma certainly is not without our problems. So I started to jump into some of these local issues. And as an extension specialist now, I've conducted 2 hunger and horticulture workshops, learned a lot, particularly from my speakers. And let me just present today some thoughts I've had on perhaps where you and I can make a difference. But before that, what are some of the underlying causes or issues, particularly with those that are getting a little along in their lifespan? And so first, let me just to define food insecurity as per USDA's definition, limited or uncertain availability of nutritionally adequate and safe foods, or limited or uncertain ability to acquire acceptable foods, that's key, and socially acceptable ways. Socially acceptable ways is key as well, down perhaps where I live. Food insecurity, what are some of the higher risk groups? And some of these certainly aren't just relevant to the elderly or older people, but in today's context, certainly minorities have it even worse than non-minorities. Particularly in the South, low income, I think that's pretty a no-brainer. Did not finish high school, separated, divorce, that comes into play with income. Unemployed, obviously income. Disability, I can relate to that. Unfortunately, I don't have a disability today, but I have worked in a mental health center in college, and I can remember us having bread and other non-perishable foodstuffs to pass out to those people, because they really were on the margins of having enough to eat. So that's just something that just popped in my mind. So some of the younger senior citizens, they're not quite old enough to jump into some of the benefits that we enjoy here in the U.S., and that describes their dilemma in those earlier senior years. There's just no denying the South is hurting more than the balance of the United States, and we'll look at that in a minute perhaps. And then never married, I think that gets back to income. You don't have a second income if you're not sharing a household with a spouse or a significant other. So those are just things to keep in your mind as you're working with people or suspect they may be having issues before we get into actual horticulture. So some of the goals I had for this last hunger workshop that I conducted a few months ago, I wanted to really focus on the state of Oklahoma, because any way you slice it, any year you look at it, we're always in the top 10 for being one of the worst states in the union for hunger. This year, I think we're number 4. We're right there with Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, same old group of states that seem to be hurting the worst or the most. One, to determine practical and expedient contributions that we as plants people could make, and of course, to affect positive change, also invited non-plants people. So I had nutritionists, didn't get a gerontologist this time, but I had other walks of life that could make us more well-rounded in our thinking on how we could better attack this problem. And then I think it's all about networking, which I've been doing even before we started here today, exchanging cards, stealing ideas, how we can go forward and make a greater impact. So you can take a look here, and I believe that's 2 years ago. I forgot to put the marker there on this slide. But again, the South, you can see clearly in general are the states that are hurting the worst. There is Maine, which is an outlier. There's Oregon, but that gives you an idea of where you may stack in the mix, depending on where you came from this week. Poverty guidelines for this year, family of four is 24.6. You go up 4,320, subtract 4,320. If you're by yourself, you're about 12 grand. You start thinking about all the everyday expenses, you can see why a family or an individual is going to get into trouble on those kinds of salaries or sources of income. I gave you a citation as well. Welcome to look at that up at your leisure. So we're talking relatively small amounts of money for things that, you know, you can plan for, and those that you can't foresee, of course. That's really where it gets us. Again, just very quickly, I don't want to belabor this. I've alluded to it earlier. Again, the South is by far the greater affected area of the country. But let me talk about my state, which did surprise me when I did my first hunger workshop about 3 years ago. So I live, if I can, where's my mouse there? I live right here. And I thought, well, you know, I'm at a university. Everybody's got a little bit of money. We're hopelessly middle class, but we're actually have enough money to go to the doctor, eat, yada, yada. But you get outside the ivory tower there in that county, Payne County, where I live, and you can see down the lower right-hand corner, we have some of the worst poverty in the state of Oklahoma. So that kind of got me off my high horse thinking, gosh, you need to really be sensitive to people around you. You just never know. That's just, I thought it was an interesting tidbit there. Ethnicity, I've already alluded to that earlier. Certainly, in my world, that's not reflected here as much. It's not only African Americans and African Americans and Hispanics, but it's also Native Americans, Oklahoma Native Americans, Hispanics, African Americans as well, take the lion's share of the brunt of the issue, unfortunately, sadly. Let's talk generically before I get into some things, I think, just for food for thought that we get into a later date. So we have almost 5 million seniors over the age of 60 that are food insecure. So they're just not sure where they're going from day to day. And that's a lot of people, and I don't consider age 60 that old. I keep raising the bar on what old is, of course. That's human nature. Talk about finances. That third point, seniors will talk about anything just to have that feeling of fullness at the end of the month. They're maybe gone the last few days, and they're not eating like you and I eat on a daily basis. Because of the grain of America, we don't have enough home-delivered meals. And when we do, and I allude to this towards the end of the talk, particularly if time permits, we have that deficiency in high-quality food in our world. That means not enough vegetables and or fruits. And then lastly, currently, Oklahoma is the ninth worst state to grow old in. We've got some other social issues. I was talking to one of my colleagues earlier. 3 years ago, we were the worst state in the union to be a female. This year, we're only the third worst state. And part of that ties into older females, not all of them older, but certainly the lion's share, I think it's older women that are taking it on the chin. But so, again, I'm doing this from my world. I have a little more expertise than the entire U.S. The veterans I threw in just because I wanted to. The first point certainly does not take into account just older people, but the latter point pretty much does, having talked to these people and having the food bank speak at my last workshop. A lot of our retired veterans are food insecure, and that's so wrong for so many reasons. Food deserts. What really surprised me was the vast majority of our counties in the state of Oklahoma do have one or more food deserts. What is a food desert? If you're in an urban situation, it's less than a mile. If you're in a rural situation, it's greater than 10 miles to drive for quality food. And so what turns out to be the case, and that's why I think we have a rampant increase of diabetes in Oklahoma, is because of the type of food people are accessing. They're eating out of quick shops. And our quick shops are getting better, perhaps. Once in a while you can find bananas. Once in a while you can have an apple. But they don't have the variety or the breadth of the, in our world, the fruits and vegetables and related plant materials that they need to be eating on a daily basis. And then up in that upper point, I think I've already alluded to that. The food deserts, again, could be rectified by more grocery stores, certainly more farmers markets, and then healthier food providers, which I hope to show here if time permits. And this should get our attention. It does me. You know, two or three of these, we become complacent because it's so in our everyday language. Cancer, you know, that's such a broad and tragic term. But hepatitis, COPD, certainly type 2, which I've already alluded to. And the list goes on. These are just 10 of the bigger ones that the health professionals have seen correlations with food insecurity in Oklahoma and the balance of our country, the United States, of course. Horticultural contributions, and I've got a couple of pages, thoughts, and I'll tell you once in 5 minutes. Thank you, Esther. Community gardens and home gardens, we've absolutely talked on both of those at our last two hunger and horticulture workshops. I, as an extension specialist, can set up workshops to raise awareness, because it's amazing when you get those evaluations back, or I as a speaker and or moderator of these workshops, I just never knew that, again, in Payne County, where our university is, I just assumed everybody was able to eat and eat well, and I suck in my gut as I say that, but it's not the case. Fresh fruits and vegetables to all markets, the farmers markets. Really excited. I don't have personal experience, but I've been reading about bigwigs like Kaiser Permanente and other people putting in farmers markets down by their hospitals, key hospitals, for people to actually live or fall through on the advice they were given at their from their healthcare professionals when they were inpatient. The continuous productive urban landscapes, that's still pie in the sky for the most of our country. It's being done in Europe and elsewhere where people can come and access in open corridors, fruits and vegetables. Vertical farming, expensive. It's being done in this country, but it's something to think about at a later date. All of these above obviously can impact positively on food security or less food insecurity, I should say. A few others, and let me just be very direct, I've already alluded to it. Obviously, we can eliminate food deserts. We have that ability as horticulturists for the most part. Marketing fresh fruits and vegetables via branding. That's something I want to do at my next conference is have somebody say, this is how we branded this produce, and this is what it did for people, either psychologically or whatever it took to get them to buy into the program. I noticed we have at least one speaker later this week. She's going to talk about breeding programs for higher nutritional value. So, John G., I see this when we're overseas talking about it. I don't see it talked about as much in the United States. I think that's probably something we need to turn around, in my opinion. And then, again, these points as well can contribute. And lastly, just very quickly here, this is just 3 minutes. This is something I would just challenge you to read. And this is not just to seniors. This is to all of society that's dealing with hunger and food insecurity. This is $2aday.com. Very interesting, written by a couple of West Coast academics, as I recall. It's just a thought if I had time, which I do. Food waste is, you know, over the top in this country. We ought to be horsewhipped. 30 to 40% of our food is ultimately thrown away. Think about that. 30 to 40% of our food is ultimately thrown away. 38 million tons of food per year from a 2014 EPA study. And you can read on and on or on about that $165 billion a year in food waste. So there's some real basic things we can start with to make an impact. Again, I'll be tackling this on the global level. But some of the things we learn from that can be obviously transferred to the U.S. level. Thank you for your time. Thank you.